Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight and go to the book of Hebrews. We're studying Hebrews on Wednesday night, and we'll be really in chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll do a little bit of review, but only because the chapter starts with wherefore. Amen. And we're going to do a little bit of just reaching back a little bit to remind us some things that happened. I'll just say this. I do appreciate you praying for us. As we travel back out again, I'll go out tomorrow morning again to be at my home church and preach tomorrow night. And then pray, if you would, that my plane is on time on Friday. I'm going to be cutting it close to get back for the fall festival. But just pray for me as we go up and do those things. And then pray, if you would, just for some of the decisions that are being made there in the church and things as they make decisions and try to work towards a time when they, again, are call a pastor there and have one full time. Amen. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Let's begin by praying and ask the Lord to open His Word and enlighten His Scripture tonight. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for the perfect Word of God, what it means to it, how it guides us, Lord, how it shapes our lives. Lord, help us tonight to not take it for granted that we have a book that's been handed down by folks that died for it, God, that gave their lives so that we could have it. As we have a Bible study tonight, let us not take it lightly that what we have is the very Word of God in our hands. So, God, I pray You that You'd open Your heart, open Your heart to us, and let us, Lord, be able to study Your Word. And I pray, God, tonight even more that this time tonight that You'd use me as Your messenger boy to deliver just how Jesus is so much better than everything that's out here in the world and anything that's come before Him. Help us to know that when we leave here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 3, if you would, Hebrews chapter 3. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and then he puts a comma there. Let me just pause and say this to you tonight, that if you're holy brethren, what does that mean? Amen. He's speaking saved folks, not holy because of your own works, not holy because you worked it up. You got in because of what Jesus did. He very plain in chapter 2 about what it took to save us, how that He came through the seed of Abraham, and He just very plain in chapter 2, and He says, wherefore? And He identifies again those that He is speaking to, that He is speaking to the saved. Not that a lost man can't benefit or can't hear from the Scripture and understand, but He's writing and He's trying to lay a foundation for the believer. Holy brethren, those that are already in. Then he goes on and he says, partakers of the heavenly calling. We have to understand and realize that the Holy Spirit of God, no man chooses to be saved outside of the Holy Spirit drawing him to salvation. It is a decision that you have to make, but I'm going to tell you, folks, it is wonderful that the Holy Spirit is the one that illuminates the Word of God, that He draws men unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not boast Himself. He doesn't lift Himself up. He's always going to lift Jesus up, both in the Word of God and in your life, but also in the drawing. He draws men to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So those that have made that are partakers of it. Don't forget, so when he says wherefore, he's going back to chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we can't go back for all of it, but just let me remind you that Jesus is better than the Old Testament prophets. Their word, Jesus' word, is better than their word. Jesus is better than angels in every way. The things that we studied, and if you want to write it down for those of you that are taking notes, I'm not good about making sure I get all my points, so while I'm reviewing, you should get them down. All right? An angel, he's better than angel's word. He's better than the angel's worth. He's better than the angel's work. His work is better than the angel's work. And then if you'll use the last W, and this is for all you guys that are taking pastoral theology, here's a brand new word for you. He's better than angel's white. All right? W-I-G-H-T. It's an archaic word that just means person. He's better than angels' person. He was made in the form of the seed of Abraham. He didn't come on and take that eternal body and the power of an angel. He was made a little lower than the angels to taste death for every man. And for all of us, he begins here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Capitalize A, we use this, and we said the last time we were doing our study, the apostle, or a word apostle, means sent one. If you want to take it to heart and understand how he is saying it, is the apostle. If there's someone who's going to make apostles, it's going to be the apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to send, the sent one will send others. All right? He says, and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, he'll deal with the word high priest in some verses in the future, but he just mentions that he's the high priest. Here, he says he's the high priest of our profession. That means the one that we profess, the highest priest or the highest person, the person between us and God the Father, is the person Jesus Christ. He is not only, again, the statement here is more about him being an intercessor than anything else, but even that, he's the high priest of our profession, the person, and we mentioned this before, we kind of shut everything down, but the person who made the blood atonement for our sin. Jesus didn't hand off the blood to some other high priest. He himself, as our great high priest, went into a tabernacle not made with hands, which we will see in this book, and he went in and made atonement for the sins of the world. Amen. That's a great high priest. But he doesn't deal with it here. He's just trying to give them a shot in the arm, because now in this chapter, if you're taking notes, he's going to show that Jesus is better than Moses. Now, for all of us, we would say, that's not a big deal. But to a Hebrew, Moses was pretty highly thought about. You and I, we think, man, God really made something out of Moses. He was a murderer. He was a quitter. He was an angry man. When he got mad, he did the opposite of what God told him to do. We see the consequences of his life. How would you like if God put on display all the consequences of things that you did wrong and the things he told you not to do, and he penned it down in his book for everybody to read? Listen, you'd probably have more than a couple that Moses did. In fact, God lays out that calls him faithful. Listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you, if there is anybody in the Old Testament that was faithful to serve God to the best of his earthly ability, it was Moses. Moses was the friend of God. Do you know the Apostle Paul in the New Testament? He was great, and God talked to him in much the same way and gave him face-to-face encounter, but again, not the way that Moses had it. Moses, listen, all those other apostles got to be the disciples at the time. But listen, even when Jesus needed encouragement and he was transfigured, Moses showed up. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, and you know, for all of us, we miss some things. Moses is an important figure in the Old Testament, so much so that God, knowing that, hid the body of Moses, because if the devil could have got hold of it and revived it, they would have followed him like an antichrist in darkness. But God hid his body. Moses did die in Christ. Look what it says in verse 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now he's going to make a contrast for all of us. And before we read, I want you to just get this. He's going to talk about both of them as being builders or maintainers of a house. But he's going to speak of Jesus Christ as being the builder of the house. And again, Moses is someone who is faithful in taking care of his house. And for all of us, we can understand, even if you're not a builder here today, somebody that maintains the house and changes a few outlets and does a few things isn't as worthy of as much honor as the man that with his own two hands built the thing from the ground up. And what they're going to contrast here is Moses did a good job of carrying God's people for his time period. But the person who led Moses, the pillar of fire, the cloud during the day, that's Jesus. The builder of the house is God. And Moses was just faithful to lead as God's servant. And I want you to see that as he goes through the scriptures. He says in verse 3, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" I want you to stop there with me and just go back and understand that if we could understand this, even this is a New Testament book dealing with Hebrews who are focused on the Old Testament and helping them understand that this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in this age. This building, listen, he just left off how much better he was because he was made a little lower than the angels to taste death for every man. And he referenced even in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things and that he's the maker of this building. He's the maker tonight of the church, the body. We're to get fit together framely as a body or a building as it's referenced here in chapter 3. And we must see that Jesus Christ is head of the body. He's head of the building. And he is better and worthy of more honor than someone who just makes up the building. He's better. And that's what's being stated in these verses. Even though Moses is faithful, there are some people that have sat in these pews that I don't want to stand behind when we face the judgment seat of Christ who have been faithful in their generation to serve God through the Landmark Baptist Church. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm excited about being there and being a part of this body and standing with this body as we walk to the great white throne. But each one of us will answer for our opportunity. But none of us will answer one to another, will answer to the builder of the house, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's worthy of more honor. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, when the word here says worthy, and the one that's going to be seated and sit at judgment reminds me of the book of Revelation, that, listen, John was in disparage because there was no one found worthy to open the books, but in walks Jesus Christ. They didn't call any of the angels to open the books. Now, the angels got to do a whole lot of things. They got to go blow the trumpets. They got to go pour out the vials. They got to do a lot of things in the book of Revelation, but not one angel was found worthy to open the books. They didn't call Moses up. "Hey, Moses, you wrote some books. You want to come up here and open it?" No. There was only one found worthy to open the book and to break those seals, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's better. He's better in every book of the Bible. And he's better here than Moses. He is because he built the building. In verse 7, he's building on what's being said. He says, "Wherefore," again, we're going to find it several times in the chapter. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Now he lays out a foundation here, and he says to them, listen, Moses tried to get you to do right. But it wasn't Moses that said this, it was the Holy Spirit that said this here. And he's referencing back to the time of Moses' leadership when Moses was a good leader and faithful, but people didn't follow. Folks, I just want to tell you that, you know, you can have a good leader and everything rises and falls on leadership, but everything rises and falls on fellowship. You can have the greatest leader in all the world, but if there's a group of people that decide they want to get wrong with him, and not follow what the Lord has told the man of God that's put over them, folks, I'm just going to tell you, what happens? You can spend 40 years going in circles. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Until God kills off the people that won't follow the preacher, and then he'll move on and give God time. We don't often think about it in terms of how we apply it to the New Testament church. Oh, that was just Israel. Okay. Nobody gets wrong today. Look at what the Bible says. He says, today, if you will hear his voice. So what is he saying? Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the voice of God as it's being spoken to you and follow his will. He says, harden not your hearts. What's the thing that happens when it goes in your ear, but it hits a hardened heart? It don't go in. It doesn't change. It doesn't move because the heart is hardened to what it wants. It's chosen its direction. It's chosen the outcome it thinks is right. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, if we're not careful, we'll pray, we'll go and vote, and if this thing don't turn out the way we want it to, we may just harden our heart. Throw our hands up, I've served God, and I prayed, and I went and voted and did everything they wanted. But look what happened. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's no magic wand. All right? Now, there may be cheating. But I'm just going to tell you that we've got to come to the place where we follow God, whether the election turns out the way we want it to or not, whether the economy looks like we want or not. When we got money in our pockets, when we don't got money in our pockets, he's the same God, and he's worthy of the same praise. He's worthy of the same service. And he's, by the way, he's worthy of the same 10%. Whether it's a big 10% or if it's a low 10%, he's the same God, and he's still worthy. But sometimes we let circumstances decide whether we're going to serve, whether we're going to follow. We'll harden our hearts to it. How about if we just decide to be faithful? Moses was faithful in his generation. He was a faithful leader. He was faithful to tell the people what God said. He was faithful to lead in the direction God wanted. And what God really wanted, think about this. And I want you to see this. Moses loved God's people. God would have killed the people of Israel and let Moses go on into the promised land and raised up a generation through Moses and Aaron and those that stood on God's side. And listen, Moses would have been the better for it. But Moses so loved God's people, he stood in the gap for them and begged God for their lives. And you may think, God's not good to them. God gave them another 40 years. And the leader that God gave them loved them so much, he kept leading them for 40 years in circles when he could have gone on in. Folks, I'm going to tell you, decisions have consequences. How hard your heart is have consequences. And we may not know. Listen, America, the decision we make, and we may go vote, but I'm just going to tell you, we can't erase all the past. Decisions have consequences. We may be moving in a good direction, but God is still, you still reap what you sow. And even if we don't win this election, I'm going to tell you, you might as well go into the chalkboard and chalk one up that we're reaping what we sowed. God may give us just what we wanted to take his hand of blessing off of us. You say, preacher, listen, it's been preached for years from this pulpit. Don't be mad when it shows up under my pastorate. Amen. We've got to come to the place where we reckon things the right way and not harden our heart to the things of God, but pray, fast, give, and go and be faithful until Jesus comes, because he's still coming. And listen, his rest is better than a rest that we'll take here. And it's going to give us that too in just another chapter. I want you to see, he says, wherefore? He says that your hearts are hardened in verse 8. As in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You know that we're tempted on a daily basis. We are tried to be drawn away. Most of us don't realize how much temptation we really face. But most of us have a smartphone, and it's smarter than most of us. And all it's gotten to do is you hear you say something about pizza, and the temptation begins. And everybody that makes pizza is trying to give you a coupon or try to get you to go get a pizza, and that's just for gluttony. That's just one temptation. Do you know there's a load more that are on that phone, and when it hears you talk about it, it's after you. You say it don't have a mind of its own. No. I don't think AI is so overly aggressive that it's doing that. But there's still people behind the scenes that are waiting. And listen, they're not driven to try to get you to fall into a deceitful sin. They just want your money. And I remember the Bible saying that the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. You may think everything's all innocent about it, but again, what are they chasing? The almighty dollar. It's their God. And even though they don't think they're following the devil or doing his bidding, they're doing it on a daily basis as they chase the almighty dollar. He goes on and he says here, when your fathers tempted me, shows a generation before, generations gone by that didn't do it right. Do you know most of us, we face, listen, not all of us have had a good example, but it's no excuse. You say, well, I didn't have a good dad that led my home or did devotions or had family altar. And okay, that's not an excuse. God gave you a book. God gave you the wonderful ability to be saved and on your way to heaven. Think about this, the grace of God to put you in a good church. To give you instruction and guidance and help you as you go along and to give you good things. Like every month or every season, every 3 months, there's a book in the back with devotions to tell you, hey, get in the Bible. Be in God's Word. Be in that every day. Grow up in your faith. And look at what he says. He says here, he says that when your fathers tempted me, proved me. Now, I don't want to prove God by tempting him. Because God is going to show up, and he will. Now, he's a long-suffering God. But if you plant the wrong seeds, he will let them grow, and he will make you harvest it. He will make you reap what you sow. You say, preacher, I believe 100%. And once saved, always saved. And I believe getting saved and accepting Jesus Christ, but it does not negate everything that happened in the past. The scars of the past don't go away. They're just under the blood. Folks, one day all that will be wiped away when we cross the swelling tide, when we see him face to face. And I'm so glad there is a day that I can look forward to, but that doesn't happen like this here. We still have to deal with those things. I think of Israel, and as he wrestled with God for the rest of his life, he halted upon the hip, the joint that God touched. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, he wrestled with God, and it changed his life, and he halted on that limp. Do you know every one of his boys, when they saw him limping in, they directly connected the walk. My dad's walk is different than it was before that night. My dad don't walk like he used to walk. My dad don't talk like he used to talk. My dad don't go the places he used to go. My dad prays like I never heard him pray before that day. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, every one of us ought to have a meeting or a time in our lives where people see and our families see that there's a difference. And it doesn't always have to show up in a gimp or a limp in our life. It ought to show up still in our actions. And we often call that our walk. Our walk with God ought to be different when we meet him. He goes on and he says that fathers were tempted and they proved him. They didn't prove him in the right way. And they saw my works 40 years. Now, do you know that this is something I wanted to remind you of? And I preached a little bit about reaping and sowing, but God was still their God. And we don't think about this, but even after not being able to go over for unbelief, God fed them in the wilderness. God took care of them. God didn't let their clothes wear out. That is a gracious and merciful God. And it's a wonderful picture for you and I living and walking around this earth. And we didn't always do it right. And even while we're going around and reaping what we sowed until Jesus comes, we still have a, a heavenly Father who loves us and isn't going to let us go hungry, isn't going to let us go without. He's going to provide and take care of our needs. He's the same God he was to them, and he'll be that God to us. But for us, listen, I'm just going to tell you, he goes again and says, wherefore? Look at verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Who is still speaking? The Holy Ghost. He's speaking to the Hebrew. He's speaking to you tonight. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. A hard heart equals somebody who doesn't want to take knowledge or have understanding of how God wants them to live. We live in a generation of people who want to know how to get to heaven, but they don't want to know anything past the way. They don't want to know his ways. They want to know the way. And that's all I want. I don't want any more. I don't want to know the ways that I should raise my family, the ways that I should live, the way that I should study, the way that I should walk, the way that I should talk, the way that I should please God with my life. Amen. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that kind of life grieves God when we don't want to know his ways, when we don't seek his face. For all of us, again, for me, the pastorate, the Bible calls it often the under-shepherd, tending the sheep. And I know God wants you to be in good green pastures. God wants you to be in place beside the still waters. He doesn't want you going through the valley of the shadow of death. But even if we have to cross that place, we don't have to fear any evil, because his rod and his staff comforts us. Folks, we have to come to the place where we realize how great a shepherd we do serve, how great a builder that we have in Jesus Christ. He's so much better. And that the Holy Spirit can speak in this age. If he can speak to them, he can speak to us in this age. He's been given not just to dwell amongst us or to fall on us, but to be in us and seal us until the day of redemption. He goes on and says, so I swear in my wrath. That's Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is speaking to his people, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now look at what it says in verse 12 as we head we're going to head for home here. I want you to, if you tuned out, tune back in. Take something, listen, you know, get back on the bat channel here, all right? Take heed, brethren. He begins by speaking to the Christian, and Christian, turn your ears back on. He says, take heed. When the Holy Spirit speaks, we ought to take heed. Even if our heart is hard, we ought to recognize that I don't want to go the way God wants me to go, but I ought to go that way. That people in the past didn't get away with it, and I won't get away with it. The people in the past reaped and sowed. God was gracious to them, but it wasn't what they really should have had. They should have entered into the promised land. They should have entered into rest. They could have had all the blessings of God, but instead they wound up going round and round in a desert that only should have taken them a little few days to cross. They were not lost. They were restricted from the blessings of God. Who in the world wants to live their life having their needs met, but restricted from God's blessing? And that's what these people are. He says, God's people, brethren, take heed tonight. Take a lesson from the Old Testament. Take a lesson from God's people that Moses had to lead. Take heed, preacher. Look, brethren, lest there be in you, look, be in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we have this season and elections and everything going on. I want to say this tonight, and I may end up using my time up, but I was encouraged while I was in Maryland. There's some people there that I've invested my life in, young people, that, you know, you may think all the teenagers that I had in my youth group are here on staff, but it ain't so. Amen. I had quite a few that was in that youth group, and some of them went off to other Bible colleges, good Bible colleges, and some of them fell out along the way. And through time and trying to go back home at different times, I tried to look them up. The preacher that was there at the time asked me to go by and see some of them because they weren't in church. Folks, not everybody that grows up and it has a good youth pastor, has good teaching, and is in a good church, and not all the brethren stick all the time. Sometimes they fall out. Folks, I was encouraged. We had a fall festival up there. That's one of the reasons we were up there. And man, I'll tell you, it was a great time. One of my teenagers that I hadn't seen in a long time was back there. Somebody in the church had seen him out and said, "Hey, I want you to come out." He said, I'm working Sunday. He said, "Brother Barry's preaching. You need to be there." He said, "I can't come Sunday." He said, "Well, we got a Friday night fall festival." He said, "You know what? I'm not working that day. I'll come out." Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that was encouraging in my heart to see them back there at the church and to hear good things from their lips. I got in the car and we headed for the airport, driving through, and Grace has to stop at every Chick-fil-A. Amen. So we stop at Chick-fil-A. Somebody, I didn't think I knew anybody there. Somebody came up to me. It's another teenager. A teenager went to our camp, come down here one time, went to our camp. The teenager had some problems. I've sat down and counseled that teenager. Teenager came and encouraged me and said, "Brother Bear, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I want to be a youth pastor. I'm going to get back in." Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I got back and I drove all the way to the airport saying, "Praise God." You know, sometimes we think if they ain't here and we don't get to see them, that they're not doing right and God's not working in their life, but that's not how it is. And folks, for all of us, it's good to know that some people along the way have taken heed. That they didn't, maybe their heart got hard for a time period, but when they heard the warning of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaking to them, they let Him break up that fallow ground, that hard-heartedness, and let the Word of God pierce it. And they came and turned to Him, and it says, listen, turn. He says, "You, any evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We'll start next week in verse 13, because He uses the word "but." It's crossing the street. There's all this, they did wrong, they did wrong, they fell into temptation, they didn't get to enter into the rest, but He tells us what to do as brother and how we ought to deal with each other and people that have a hard heart. He says, exhort one another. Folks, it's not every one of us, you know, sometimes the preacher ain't always around somebody that's heading the wrong direction. And somebody that's close to them, somebody that lives near them, somebody that sits near them on the west side or the east side, ought to exhort them. "Hey, boy, I'll miss you. We sure miss you at church. You ought to be there. Don't miss this Sunday. Be at Roundup Sunday." Exhort them. You say, "They don't listen to me." Maybe you're their last shot. It might be their less opportunity or less exhortation to break up the fallow ground. Your words might be just what they need. Listen, I'll tell you tonight, as church, I learned a long time ago that Jesus is better. I preached it, and I'll just remind you again, He's better than everything else that's out there. And not just because He is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life or eternal life. There are a lot of people that preach some things and they want to tell you about how you can get to a third heaven. You can have, you know, this next existence. The Jehovah Witness want to lie to you and tell you that you're just going to stay here. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't want to stay here. The tribulation period ain't going to be the heaven that they've been preaching. There's going to be a rude awakening for them. Folks, I'm just going to tell you that we've got to come to the place where all of us realize and preach and tell others that Jesus is better, that He saves. It's the foundation that made me a part of the brethren. It's the foundation that made you a partaker of the heavenly calling. If you're here tonight and you're hearing the heavenly calling tonight, the Holy Spirit's been drawing you, and you say, you know what, the preacher's been preaching and I need to be saved. That Jesus he's been talking about, he is better and I'm ready to accept him. Then tonight we'll give you an opportunity to walk an old-fashioned aisle and come down and let us take a Bible and show you how that the finished work, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel or the good news that every one of us need to realize that we cannot be good enough, but that he paid it all and all to him we owe. You can put your faith and trust in him. You say, preacher, is that something you did? I am so glad that I did. It changed my everything. It not only changed my eternal destiny, but it changed here on earth for me too. Instead of wandering in my own wilderness, I've been walking his road. I'm talking since I was a teenager, he changed my life. He can change your life. He can change your destination. He can get you from doing circles the world's way to walk in the direction that he wants for your life. All you have to do is start that journey by accepting him, by believing and putting your faith in his finished work. I pray that you will tonight. If you're a Christian here tonight and you recognize that your heart's a little harder than you want it to be, maybe you're not ready to admit that it's just hard, why don't you soften that tonight by saying, God, break up the fallow ground of my life. God, I've realized that messages have been preached, and it's not just Pastor Parsons that's not getting in, but Pastor Carter preached and Brother Danny preached, and just nothing's moving, and it's not like it used to be. Listen, folks, that's a hard heart. It can't be all of us that's preaching that can't get through. It's because you're not hearing the Holy Ghost anymore. You've put up a wall in your heart between God and yourself. Maybe you need to come to the altar and be altered tonight and let God break up that fallow ground. Start that process tonight. Don't wait till Sunday. Start it tonight. Let's stand to our feet. As the musicians come, let me ask you to do this. Do business with God. Step out and come to the altar. If you're here and you need to be saved, step out and meet me here in the front. The piano's going to begin to play. Brother Bert's going to sing. But you step out and come. I'll meet you here in the front.